What's happening, ladies and gents?
Yo, yo.
Have a Chat with Ray and Stat is finally back, and this one's a very special episode.
Yeah, just want to shout out to Pastor Hernan for letting us use the facilities over at Good Shepherd Baptist Church. Very grateful for him and for creating an opportunity for us to be able to film the episode there.
Yeah, we got some awesome guests, and that couldn't have happened without Pastor Hernan, so thank you so much. Ladies and gents, we literally filmed this right before a church service.
That's right.
So it was kind of rushed, we were kind of all over the place, but it is such an awesome episode. We hope you guys enjoy it.
Enjoy it.
What is happening, ladies and gents, and welcome to another episode of Have a Chat with Ray and Stat. I am Ray, right next to me, Stat.
Yo-ho!
What is happening, my man?
Good, man. How you going?
I'm good, bro, but listen, we're not in our podcast studio.
I know, we're in a better studio.
We're in a way better room, a lot more lights, a lot nicer. There's even a lamp next to me, so look at that. Yeah, we're not in our podcast studio because we're in Brisbane.
Yes, sir.
And we've got Goose next to you. Goosey, what's going on, buddy?
Nothing much. Doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming on, mate. Like every time, thanks for coming on.
As awkward as always. But the reason we're in Brisbane is because we're at the Leadership Conference.
Yep, yep.
It's a good conference. It's been awesome so far.
Yeah, very good.
And you cannot have a good conference without having good preachers. And ladies and gentlemen, do we have a treat for you today? We have Pastor Kurt Skelly and Pastor Dean Miller. Gents, thank you for jumping on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you, man. Great to be here. Yeah, I don't know, though, that Dean, he's looking for good preachers. I'm not sure that we represent that.
Yeah, right. Well, I know for sure I'm not.
Well, I know that I'm not.
Yeah, okay.
I think I'm
more humble.
I'm actually the humblest in this room.
Well, listen, that's right. I am so humble. I'm proud of it.
You have good reason to be proud of your humility.
You're right. We did bring good preachers. We brought great preachers. Even better.
We bought the best of the best.
What an honor, guys.
It's good to have you guys. It's been a while since we've seen you. I think the last time I saw you was 2019.
Yeah.
All the way out in Seattle.
That was in Seattle.
Yeah.
We were in Australia. Our family came here in 2018.
Yep.
It's hard to believe that it's been that long.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's been a minute.
Yeah.
And then we see you every year because we pretty much adopted you into our church. So
Yeah. When my daughter comes to Australia, I've got to go check on her, make sure that you guys are treating her right. So for sure.
Yeah, you got to give Zach that little, you know.
Absolutely.
Just a little reminder every now and again, man. Right. Just because you're married, no mucking around. No, we're going to take care of, put you in line a little bit.
So how is it, guys? How is it traveling to Australia, traveling all over the place, just constantly doing your job, ministering the gospel? It's got to be difficult. It's got to be hard, but it's also got to be something that you love to do to keep going. What keeps you motivated doing it?
Dean, what would you say?
Well, you know, it is taxing. I grew up in a pastor's home, so I had an upfront seat watching my dad be a dad, be a husband, be a pastor. And then as I got a little older, my dad began to travel a good bit. He was invited to come and preach, and there were some people in the church that used to be a little bit bothered by that. But one of the deacons in my dad's church used to say, "Hey, you know, we're just grateful that we have a pastor that other people want to hear." And so they were honored by that, and they deferred and let my dad follow the leadership of the Lord as he went to minister in other places. So I kind of saw some of that, but as a young man, I saw it was kind of glamorized to me, getting to fly around and go to conferences and sign Bibles or whatever. That was my immature view of it. Now that I'm 50, and I've been doing this for a number of years.
Sorry, can I get you to move that mic just a little bit to your... There we go, that's better.
Sure. Yep. But just, now that we're doing this for a number of years, it's a task, it's a chore. Mm. And you need to know that these are things that God is doing in your life and that he's leading in this as you minister. But it is a blast. I mean, it's a joy to balance everything, to watch God work it out, finding your inadequacies and then... And meeting those things with his sufficiency. It's been great.
I would agree with all that. I would say that the great part about traveling is like meeting people, like you guys.
Yeah.
Like I feel like we're good friends. I feel like we've spent this time together. I love that part of it. I love they say the extroverts get energy from people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like I'm energized when I get together with people and spend time with them and invest in their lives. I love that part of it. But I do agree with what Dean said, that there is this glamorous view of traveling and preaching, and you get to see the world. You really don't. get to see the world. Really, mm-hmm. What ends up happening is you get to see airplanes, airports, yeah. and the inside of churches right. and hotel rooms.
I mean, I'm in Brisbane, the first time I've ever been to Brisbane, and I haven't seen Brisbane.
Right.
Mm. Not much to see, to be honest.
No, well.
Good point. Yeah.
But also the fact that you got, you know, mucked around a little bit in the airport with the flight cancellations and everything else.
Yeah, that's going to be your whole
bit
life.
Bit of a circus. Is that normal? Is that a very normal thing that happens all the time?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I would say unless you have an attitude of flexibility, you could get really, really discouraged doing the things yes. that we do.
Yeah. yeah. I mean, we had flight delays from the very beginning. Like, we were supposed to come here Thursday night and leave Denver to San Francisco to Sydney. And then all of a sudden our flights, early Thursday morning, we started getting notifications that our flights were delayed. So that started early Thursday for us. They weren't traveling all day Thursday. And then get to San Francisco and fly out Thursday night, fly all day and get into Sydney at 7 o'clock yeah. on Saturday morning. So, I mean, but you have to flex with that. And my wife, she drove us to the airport. She just rolled with it because she just knows it's part of the, it's part of the lifestyle.
Part of the gig, like, yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think to your point though, and for those that are listening right now, I think to your point, it's an awesome life.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
it
absolutely.
Is, it's an incredible life to be able to spend time with people, to be able to preach the Bible, to be able to see people make really life changing decisions. Like I said this to you this week, Dean. It's like we get to do this.
Yes, absolutely.
It is an amazing thing.
Yeah.
And I would just say, I don't know who's listening right now. I don't even know what camera to look at. But I would say this.
I forgot we were even on.
I hope that turns on.
I would say this.
Look right out.
Like, I'm looking at you guys. I should be looking.
You'll never regret serving God.
Yeah.
Like, whatever that is, there is no more joy in life than to find God's will and do it. And that doesn't mean that everybody is going to travel and preach. Some are going to spend their lives in one place, but the joy is in serving Jesus. It's not in a location, it's in a relationship. And I love what I do.
Yes, and I echo that. I mean, there is a joy in the journey, and God, there are times of where you're up against the wall, you're fatigued, you're pressing, and then the Lord just has ways to encourage you. Here just about 2 months ago, my niece is battling through cancer, and she was going to a clinic out of country and getting some treatment. And they sent me a picture of this young man who was in this clinic out of the country, and they got to talking with him, and he got saved in a camp when he found out that they were related to Dean Miller, who was a pastor in Colorado. He said, I got saved at a camp that he preached at years ago and changed my life. And his story was so amazing. And it came at a time when I really needed to hear that. Mm-hmm. And just to remember that, you know, he was one of those kids in a crowd somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I was probably preaching tired at a camp. And yet God used that in that young man's life to change eternity, change life. I mean, just those are incredible things.
Mm-hmm. It's cool to see that stat from Angus. We've been in ministry, like just working, serving for nearly 10 years, something like that. And I'd say that we're at the beginning of it. Right, we're at the beginning of it. These guys are in the midst of it. You guys have been there. You've seen a lot of years.
Thank you for not saying I'm at the end of it.
Listen, I thought about it. I really did think about it, but yeah. I thought the gray hairs were enough to show your age, so that was fine.
Thank you. I think this interview is fine.
Yeah,
I'm going to regret that one.
Yeah, you are, definitely.
Anyway, so like these guys have been through it. Mm. They've seen it. They've seen a lot of it. And we've only been in 10 years of it, and it's so easy to get discouraged in it. Bro, it's hard, man. Like, in the small capacity we do, it gets hard, it gets difficult, and it gets so easy to want to throw in the towel. And I think a lot of Christians feel that, especially a lot of young Christians who feel fatigued already. I mean, you've got a lot of teenagers, young adults who get thrust into ministry, and then there's just so much that they're doing. And it's easy to sort of get lost in it all and think, mate, this is too difficult. How do you guys keep reviving yourselves to say, no, it's for the Lord, no matter what the result might be, we're going to keep going.
Yeah. Ministry in the flesh will drain you. Ministry in the spirit will sustain you. So there's always going to be the inevitable weariness, physical weariness. Mm. I mean, airplane travel or whatever your context is, you know, just being tired. We can be weary in the work, But we're not weary of the work when our focus is upon Christ. And we do what we do for him. We're not with eye service as men pleasers,
right,
but as the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. Mm. And that I mean, I think I speak for you, Dean, when I say that's the joy of it. You're coming back to, we do what we do for an audience of one.
Right.
We do what
absolutely.
We do for Christ.
Yeah, mm. absolutely. And I think that's something that I've learned along the way is I have to really steward my personal relationship with Christ and just walking with the Lord day to day. And in the airports, when the changes happen, you just immediately rest in the fact that he has a plan, he has a will, mm-hmm. he's walking through this with you, he's called you, and all of this is with him and for him and by him and ultimately to him. Mm-hmm. And that's the joy.
And think, and just even thing I was thinking about, just think about what we're talking about. You know, so sometimes the trials,
yeah,
the trials that we face, you know, yeah. our yeah. flight got delayed,
yeah, right.
you know,
right.
it got canceled. So right. now, yeah. so now we have to add a chapter to Fox's Book of Martyrs because instead of flying on the flight, we have yeah. to sit in the airplane lounge
right.
and get free coffee,
right.
you know, and work life. On it.
Cookies,
and sometimes
man.
The Wi-Fi is slow. So that's another trial yeah. that sometimes we face.
Man,
I think it's
rough.
Perspective, you know.
How do you do it?
Crying baby on the plane. I mean, it's all with the stonings that's and
right.
the strikes.
How many crying babies have you had on a plane?
Yeah.
Countless?
Yeah, it's tough. Yeah. And then I have to put in my Bose, you know, headphones.
Wireless.
It's just tough. But I have to dig that out of the bag.
Oh.
I mean, it's a lot of work.
Yeah, yeah. It's, yeah. Oh, worse.
They got it.
You got to downpack. No, because for me, I know that sometimes, like you said, like you get caught up in the midst of it, but sometimes, like we get discouraged, like we were talking about. I, for me, try to focus it back on, remember who I'm doing it for. Because sometimes we get caught up in, oh, pastors asked me to do this, and yeah. I'm going to do it because pastors on my back to do it. Or, you know, someone else, like another member of the leader of this ministry is getting me to do it for the sake of, oh, because I have to do it. But then once I start getting into that mindset, that's when I get really discouraged. So I'm doing it just so that I can shut them up, for example, or I can just get it done and they have to ask me. But I know that if I come home from that and I have to realign myself saying, hang on a sec, what I just did was literally useless. Mm-hmm. So I never did it for Christ. And I have to like readjust my thought process before I go into whatever it is that happens at church. Because sometimes things can happen last minute.
Yeah.
Ray is definitely... Yeah. Yeah, you know, testament to that.
It's a daily mental reset.
Yeah.
You know, Dean was telling me earlier today, talking about a message he preached to the teenagers about God being with Joseph. It's that it's that daily conscious practice of the presence of God in
yes.
our life.
Yeah. And you have to be aware of that. And then you have to choose every day. Mm. You have to consciously choose every day to seek him, to walk with him. And know that the Lord is with you, and there's a companionship and a fellowship, and there's a joy in that.
Yeah. So think about that statement: the Lord is with you. So to the person walking with the Lord, that's the greatest encouragement I could ever give you. The Lord is with you. To the person far from God, that is the most frightening reality.
Yes.
The Lord is with you. It ought to be what adjusts our thinking in every area of our life. You know, I am with you. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. That was God's promise to Joshua.
Yeah.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. That was David's greatest comfort in his trial. Mm. So it's the presence of God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard.
Everyone looks down at Goose like, okay, I need to say something profound right now.
It's so weird. Like, you know him. He's very, like, outgoing, has a laugh. Is that when it comes to the podcast, he just sits.
Well, I tell you, this microphone is an intimidating thing. I mean, you look at it, it's like, what do I do with this thing? But you're doing a great job.
It's not so much intimidation. I just try not to say the wrong things, but that doesn't work. It's like everything I says is just a red flag.
Because then he'll text me later and say, bro, take that off. No, that's definitely going
I've,
in.
I've never done that. I've heard on many different sermons, especially on Scott Pauley, he says that a lot, that the hardest thing to do is staying right every day and staying close to God every day. Keeping, he would say himself, so in my case, keeping Goose every day in check with God. That's not the hardest, but it's the most important thing, taking it step by step. But if I was to ask a question, I've heard many missionaries, many preachers, many evangelists talk about how their life would be either impossible or a lot harder to do without the right spouse, the right wife, the right companion. If I was to ask you guys, can you guys talk a bit more about that and the importance of having the right wife? And also, how have your kids handled this lifestyle over the years? Because I think your kids now are a lot older and you guys are grandparents, but when they were younger, part of that life would have been coming along, tagging along, traveling with you guys. How did they handle it as well?
Yeah, that's a great question.
It's a great question. And first of all, I just want to say I like the fact that you're asking questions about marriage, Goose. That's important. I mean, I was hoping that all three of you.
He's asking for friends. He's down packed. He's good. We're asking for friends. He's asking for us. He's pretty much asking for us.
So let me just say to you two then, to our podcast listening and watching audience, we do have some eligible bachelors in the room. So just keep that in mind.
The beard's intact. There's no hair. We're looking all right. Shaping up.
Use a mic.
Yeah,
use a mic.
I'll scream anyway. So it's all right.
It's a great question, though, Goose. It's because ministry is not a lone ranger. It's not. I don't care how gifted a preacher is, how energetic he might be, without the support of his wife and his children, it's all for nothing. People ask me, you know, Brother Skelly, how do you do all that you do? And my answer is always the same. I said one word, Wanda.
Yeah.
Wanda. Nobody else would put up with me. She is an amazing person. And then I would say with my kids, and you'd have to ask them yourself, but I would say with my kids, we always try to make the ministry fun. Yes. And it was never something separate. It was what we do together.
Yeah.
And, you know, all my kids have been with me everywhere. And now as adult children, they said, Dad, we went around the world with you. And that's a dangerous thing because I took my daughter to Australia and she stayed.
Yeah, and I just brought a single daughter to Australia. So, you know, my wife was like, do not pull a Kurt Skelly. Do not take your daughter down there. But no, to that point, you know, I grew up in a ministry home. And my dad never one time made me believe that we had to sacrifice for ministry. Dad always found the good things that we got to do, and he would say, Dean, can you believe that we get to do this? Can you believe that? I mean, this is how good God is. I mean, we get to serve the Lord, and God lets us have these opportunities, and we get to go play. You get to go places that no one else gets to go. You get to do things that other people don't get to do. I mean, God is so good to us. And that was capital that I was able to spend in difficult times. That God was good and God, the ministry was never the obstacle. And I've tried, not always perfectly, but I've tried to live that with my kids to where my kids never felt like they were being neglected or having to just be pulled along with what Dad's objective was, but that they got to go along on this journey. They got to be a part of what God was doing, and we just had fun. We get to enjoy the journey together. And I would say, you know, Michelle, my wife, has been, I mean, I don't have words to explain how she has just been a wife and a mother, and she has been a complete facilitator of what needs to be done. There, she just makes things happen, and she makes adjustments, and she's always been there to fill in gaps when there was a time I couldn't be there. She's been the best.
For sure. It's a great question.
That's very interesting. And I think that's the tough part to sort of drill into someone is how important our role is in ministry, no matter what the role might be, but how to keep going with your family in tow. I mean, you hear it happen all the time about how, you know, there's certain people that will neglect their family for the ministry. And I'm not talking about full-time pastors. I'm talking about the guy that's teaching Sunday school that weekend. You know, you can neglect your family because you think, no, this is more important, but you've got to nurture that family unit. How do you guys do that? Constantly moving around, constantly doing what you do.
Don't ever view ministry as something separate from your family. I hear people so oftentimes say, well, you know, it's God, family, ministry. And I said, that's really a false, that's a false separation. It's really not God, family, ministry. It's God. And then it's God and my family, and it's God and my ministry, and it's my God and my family in my ministry. So they're not separate entities. They're not three items on a list. It's one life. And in my one life, you know, when I'm serving with my family, it's not serving and then coming home to my family. This is our ministry. It's like a church like Dean's church, Front Range, that graciously allows him to travel to Australia, to preach in Brisbane, to travel around the country. It's important that that church not see it as, well, that's his life here, that's his life here. No, that's our life. Our church, that's our pastor, and we are sharing and we are ministering to churches around the world through him. And it's important that families see that as well. You know, this is us serving, us helping together.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think Paul is a great example of this, because Paul's overtone, with all his burdens, with all his, you know, Paul didn't have delayed flights. He had broken ships. He had, you know, he had imprisonments and stripes. And yet the whole overtone of Paul's ministry is rejoicing in the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the victory in Christ. But then you always see Paul talking about, I'm co-laborers together with this person. And he concludes his letter, say hello to those people. He brings these people and say, hey, we're co-laborers together with Christ. We are co-laborers with God. There was no division in all of that. This is what we were doing. And I think the people who really struggle with that, and guys who, you know, are pursuing this ministry at the demise of their family, are probably doing something that God has not asked them to do. And so they're pursuing something without bringing their family along with what God has called them to do. And perhaps maybe they're doing it for themselves, maybe they're pursuing this for their own interest, but they're just doing things that God hasn't asked them to do.
Yeah. It's a sad reality. If that be the case, just thinking the impact that, you know, they think all the work that they're doing, you know, without their family, I don't know, for me, I just think that, I don't know how to put it into words, but like God looks down on that and just thinks like, man, what are you doing? Especially like the hours they put into the ministry, you know, the amount of serving that they do. And if not having the family unit together, like, I think that's a big thing. But my question on the whole, on family, with it all, is when it came through certain trials as a family and you guys being, you know, fit regularly on the road together a lot of the time, how would it kind of be handled in a sense? Because you guys were always traveling, you're always abroad, always different flights, different, you know, parts of America or parts of the world, you know, doing ministries. Was there ever a time where some trials just overseeded where you couldn't get to a certain place to preach, or you couldn't... You had to go back home, like, or you're stuck somewhere, and then a trial's come up that, you know, really needs to be urgently taken care of. Like, has there been emergencies like that in the past, and how has it kind of brought you guys together as a family to kind of handle that?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, trials don't stop happening when you travel. And matter of fact, even now as we're recording this, I'm dealing with a potential situation back home. I would say two things to that. Number one, that when you're gone and a trial takes place that necessitates you having to cancel a meeting or cut a meeting short, go home, it sends a really big message. So obviously I'm a Christian first, and then I'm a husband, then I'm a dad, then I'm a pastor, then I'm a special speaker. So there is a priority in all of it.
Yeah.
I remember coming to TNS one year and a dear man in our church passed away. And obviously, as the pastor, I want to conduct that funeral service. And the wife said to me, hey, we'd like to do the service on Thursday. And that was the day I was flying out. Now, we could have done it on Wednesday. And I could have said, hey, no, it'd be easier for me. But I didn't. I said, that'll be fine. Now, truth be told, it cost me a lot of money to change that ticket. Yeah. But I never said anything. Because to me, the priority was ministering to that family. And then later, when they found out, that ministered to them that much more.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like, oh, my pastor's leaving or my pastor's gone. It was, well, he made that effort to come home. He made that effort to stay. So it became a positive, not a negative. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Steve? What's happened? I've experienced the same thing. Like I've had times where I'm supposed to leave, when we had a tragedy in the church, and then I have to call where I'm going and say, hey, I have to stay here and minister to that. without telling the family that you've done that, but you stay and you do what God has required of you. And those are those things in the sovereignty of God that, you know, all that stuff, God takes care of all that. But then the people that you're shepherding, the family that, that you're helping, they're strengthened by that because they see people making sacrifice, their pastor making an adjustment and a sacrifice to care for them. And, you know, it happens, and you just you have to make the adjustments. And God uses those things sometimes to reinforce that relationship that you have with your people.
And it's not only the emergency times. So I think it's important. For instance, right now it's a little bit different because all my children are grown. They're all married. But while my children were small, I wouldn't accept invitations to preach places. I still preached out quite a bit. My schedule's always been crazy, but I would make sure that their lives were in my calendar before any preaching engagement. So, for instance, all their basketball games, all their school activities, all their special events, I was sure to put that in my calendar first. Mm-hmm. Now, does that mean I never messed up? No, I did. Were there ever times when I felt like my priorities were out of whack? They were. But I think by putting those big rocks in my schedule first, I avoided much of that. So it's a great question.
Yeah, and that's a joy. I look back and think, you know, I made plenty of mistakes, but I never missed one of my girls' volleyball games, one of their big events. Nice. And there was one time that our team got invited to a tournament that wasn't on the schedule. And it was an additional play-in tournament, and they went to that. And it was my daughter Deanna's senior year. And I was preaching out somewhere and was supposed to fly in, and there was no way I was going to be able to fly in to the airport that I had ticketed already and then get to that game. And just kind of scrambled, and same thing. It cost, changed my ticket, had to rent a car, and I walked into that gym before they played, and I will never forget the look on her face when I came in. And I'll never forget the look on my wife's face that, you know, there was just this pride and a respect that, and those are the things. It that brought our family together. Those things tie heartstrings that are not easily broken.
Yeah. The small things.
Yeah.
The small things matter.
That's right.
All right, listen, we don't have a lot of time because we have a church service to go to, so I'm going to ask you one last thing. TNS, it's something that's close to your heart, but it's the thing that brought you guys to us. I mean, we know you guys because of it, and I know it had a big play in your family's life, and just wanted to sort of ask them, boys, because we love TNS. We help run it every year. It's probably the greatest thing we get to do each year. What is it about TNS that should get young people there, should get them excited? What's different about it? What is it that you're seeing in it that sort of just is a conference to be at?
You start, Dan.
Well, I think, you know, Kurt's been so involved in that, and it really is a part of his, you know, he's got his heart in it. Because I think you've been, how many TNSs have you been?
What, however many we've had.
About six?
Yeah.
I think the sixth one. Yeah. Sorry, I think it's the sixth one.
So I was honored to be invited in 2018 to preach, and it was an interesting thing because God used that conference in our family. Our whole family came,
And that was your transition.
That was my transition, and nobody knew that. Nobody knew that we were praying together as a family. We didn't know what God was doing with us, and God brought us all the way across the world to Australia, and we just got to be part of this ministry, and just the spirit of TNS, the spirit of your church. All of you guys, the fun, it was exactly what our family needed at that time that just reinforced that God is doing something in our family. And we left there surrendered. I mean, I'm telling you, to a person in our family, we were all open to whatever God wanted to do. Bring us to Australia, send us to the Philippines, whatever God was doing, we were all surrendered to that. And TNS was a huge part of that.
I would say I would agree with everything Dean just said, and I would say this as well. You know, TNS is unlike any other conference that I attend because it's all about relationships. TNS is a place where people come and really forge friendships for a lifetime. And there's nothing like this going on. I go to teen conferences. I go to some single or young adult conferences. But TNS is all of that and more. It's this unique blend of relationships. I can't say, I mean, if you've never been to TNS, I would just say you've got to come experience it. TNS is something that you're not going to get it just by live streaming it. You're not going to get it just by checking out the recordings later. You've just got to come and experience it. I would say that, you know, TNS has been as impactful in my life as it has been God using me to impact others. I think about, again, my daughter. She met her husband at TNS. And all joking aside, the biggest prayer you have in your life is for your kids to serve the Lord. And with daughters, you know this, Dean.
Yes.
It's especially burdensome because, wow, you know, who will be this man in her life that will lead her?
Yeah.
And so TNS has such a soft spot in my heart because it's meant so much to our family.
That's awesome. I'd never heard of it like that, to be honest. I never thought TNS was that different to any other conference.
It is totally different. It's a totally different conference. People don't have to come. In the States, we tend to segment because there's so many Christians, so many conferences. We tend to segment them. But with TNS, honestly, and I think we were all surprised by this because we started the conference years ago really to minister to people in their 20s that are single. But that's not what TNS is. There's many of them, but we'll have a lot of people that will be older than that, a number of married couples that will come, teenagers. It's this amalgamation of people together that just have a heart to know God, his will, to reach Australia.
Yeah.
I mean, it's revival, it's conference, it's fun, it's activities. It's all of these things wrapped into one big package.
It's the best way to look at it, eh?
We got one. We got one. We got a good one then. Yeah. Hey, thank God for that. That's awesome. That's really cool to know. That's really cool to see because I guess being in it, you don't see a lot of that. You don't see what is going on elsewhere. So this year...
And you three guys, I'll just say this for a moment. Like, you three guys are a great embodiment to me of what TNS is because you have zeal and enthusiasm and passion and priority, and you represent so many of the others at Faith Baptist Church that are just all in. And I don't say that because we're doing a podcast together. I say that because that's who you men are. And I love to see you influencing your generation in Australia for the cause of Christ because we desperately need sold out, Bible believing, dedicated young men and women that will reach this country for Christ. Yeah. And so I for one, am humbled and appreciate that so much.
And I think to Kurt, what Kurt just said right now is from an outsider, I've only been a part, really I was a part of two TNSs because I flew to your house and we live streamed. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Was it during COVID?
It was.
COVID one, yeah.
And I flew from Denver out to DC and we stood in Kurt's kitchen and we live streamed in. That was a blast. Right.
The big breakfast.
So I guess I have two TNSs under my belt. But this is for somebody who doesn't have the deep familiarity that Kurt has being here. But to me, it has been a conference with a cause. And sometimes in the States, conferences just become part of the calendar, and we're going to hear these people preach, and it's wonderful. But there's like a cause here because it originally was like, we're going to get young people in this country to get a burden for reaching this country. And I think you guys are the embodiment of that, right? You're doing a podcast because you're trying to encourage your generation to serve God. And that's the outworking of what God's doing in TNS.
Oh, thank God for that. And I'll take it back to a conversation we had back, I'll never forget, 2017. I think at the time, our church was going through a bit of a situation at the time. I was not getting into it, but I remember you came up to me, Pastor Scaly, specifically, and I think amongst others, and you just said, keep working hard for God. You know, keep sticking to your church. Keep serving God. There's no greater joy. I'll never forget that conversation. And that was just after the TNS. I remember I came to the front of the stage, we had that conversation, and that's always sat with me. And every time I think about TNS, I think about that conversation we had. And I think
that was 6 years ago.
6 years ago, yeah. And it sat with me ever since. And I always, every time TNS comes around, I think of the time that, you know, the impact that you've had in my life from that comment of when there was so much uncertainty going on, when we were trying to run a conference like TNS with all the pressures that were there. And it was a message from you saying, you know, just keep at it, keep working for Christ. There's no greater joy. There's nothing better to do.
And now that we've had 6-7 years of TNS, because we skipped the year with COVID, so let's go back 7 years. Look at how many of your friends, first of all, that you've made around the country, but even your friends that are serving God in their local churches. Mm. It's amazing how God is using this conference to impact this country.
Mm. That's awesome. That's so cool. Gus, did you have anything to say about that?
Just it's a massive encouragement, everything you just said, but also to know that God is using yourself, so us who are serving, or even those who are just attending, as an encouragement to others. Mm. And to know that God's using you in the simplest of ways, it just makes you want to be on fire to be used more. Mm. Yeah, and I know that we don't have time, but it's something I've been focusing on in my life is making sure that I stay ready. And I think another term is keep my vessel clean to be used. Because God is always wanting to use you, but you just got to be ready.
Mm.
And yeah, that's pretty much what I want to add.
Really good.
Good stuff.
See, he has small moments, but they're good moments.
That's
see
a
what
powerful
I'm saying.
Thought. Absolutely.
See what I'm saying.
We call him the goose, but he's as far as out of all of us. Right. You know what I mean?
Like Mick does it. Mick's going to clip that out. You know that.
We need to have a, you guys need to have a segment on here where you just have a, like, talk to me, goose.
Yeah.
Funny enough, you say that.
My show is called Talk to Me. I've got another show. It's called Talk to Me.
Oh, really?
There you go. Okay.
Look at us. Yeah. Well, who'd have thought? Not me, you know?
Look at that. All right. Gents, thank you so much. We really appreciate you guys jumping on. Ladies and gents, TNS is this Thursday. This episode's released on Monday, by the way. So this Thursday, get to TNS. Register. Call Stad up. He'll get you registered. He'll get
you sorted. I'm on the registers, mate. I'm on the registers every year. Call me. You got my numbers.
If you haven't registered, do it. You won't regret it. It's going to be an awesome conference. Mm. There's a lot happening. Our theme is As For Me. Now, Pastor Scully, we're going to hear a lot from you this weekend. But Pastor Dean, when you hear the words As For Me and I want to be a generation of believers that stands up for Christ and has the confidence to stand up for Christ, what does that mean to you? And what word of encouragement would you have to the young adults that are going into that conference this weekend?
Well, I would say As For Me implies one thing, that I'm taking this cause personally and I'm not waiting on the generation to follow them. I'm taking this cause. It's mine. I'm taking ownership and I'm going to be what God wants me to be and find what God wants me to do. And as I do that, I begin to join with all the others who God is using. And then God creates that movement, that team, that unit that impacts their generation. But it doesn't do that without me. I've got to do Gideon, the Bible said of Gideon, every man stood in his place.
Sure.
And so you just got to find your place. You find your place. You stand in your place. Don't wait on anyone else. You do what God wants you to do, and you take it personal, As For Me. And God will use you to impact others.
And
good.
And that is a way to end the podcast,
it's
buddy.
It's the best way to end it. Yeah.
Gentlemen, honestly, thank you so much. We got you guys literally an hour before a church service that you have to prepare for, so we really do appreciate that time. Thank you. Ladies and gents, thank you. Stat, Goose, thank you.
Thanks,
boys.
Lads. Thank
Nothing
you
like it.
Much appreciated.
Ladies and gents, follow, subscribe, do all that nice stuff, you know. Share this with your friends. Let's get this out there. Thank you for having a chat.
God bless you guys.
Thanks, guys.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Take it easy.
Love it. Great.